This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
World Water Day on BFM 89.9, brought to you by Inda Water Consortium, New Life for Water.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Water is one of the basic necessities of life, which we use almost without thinking, and this can lead to significant waste. While we're always advised on how much water we should drink daily, we don't really hear much about the amount of water that we are wasting, water scarcity, or how we can reduce usage. So this World Water Day, I speak to Norizan Muhammad Mazlan, who is the head of conservation in Peninsular Malaysia at WWF Malaysia, about major issues that must be addressed to ensure sustainability of our water resources here in Malaysia. Welcome, Norizan. How are you today?
I'm fine, thank you. And you?
I'm very well. Thank you so much for joining us. Everyone's doing interviews over Skype now, so thank you so much. I know you're working from home as well.
Yes, all virtually done.
Yes. So, you know, it is World Water Day, and, you know, experts have said that water is undervalued, it's wasted, and it's being depleted too fast. Having been traditionally regarded as a free human right, do you agree with that statement?
Well, it's a loaded question there. I don't agree with it entirely.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. While water is a basic human right, it is a finite resource. Mm-hmm. And in most countries, it isn't free, you know, contrary to popular belief. And people have to pay to get water from their taps because the water has to undergo treatment processes and distribution before it is actually safe to drink. Mm-hmm. So if you talk about undervalued, maybe in some places, if you connect it to the tariff, but in other countries, people are actually paying quite sufficiently to cover the cost of treatment, mm-hmm. as well as the cost of maintaining the ecosystem services that provide the water resource in the first place. So Malaysia has come in leaps and bounds when it comes to provision of water services, mm-hmm. potable water supply and distribution, as well as wastewater treatment. However, there is the water resource side, which is also needing to be conserved and protected because I don't know if you all know, but more than 97% of the water that we use is abstracted from our rivers. So therein lies the water catchments, the riparians, the floodplains and wetlands, which are still a little bit undervalued here in Malaysia. Yeah, so that's in terms of value. If we look at in terms of wastage, if you look at the Malaysian context, the average domestic per capita consumption, you can argue that on average that we actually are a bit wasteful. Mm-hmm. We use, I think, anywhere between 209 liters per person per day up till 298 liters per person per day, I think.
Wow.
The average is about 209, 211. And this is actually way above the United Nations recommended, which is 160, 165 liters per person per day.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a very big difference.
Yeah, so our neighbor Singapore, which has the same climate as we do, mm-hmm. actually their water consumption was only 143 liters per person per day in 2017. They managed to reduce it from 165 liters per person per day in 2003. And they have a target set to 140 liters per person per day by 2030.
Gosh. And are we anywhere close to that or even setting such targets?
Well, we are still in the higher range. So mm-hmm. still above 209, 211.
That's right.
I think Selangor and the Klang Valley is still quite high, about 220, 230. Mm-hmm. There are some states that are less and there are some states that are higher. I talk about states because actually SPAN, the National Water Resources Commission, mm-hmm. they actually monitor this by state.
I see. So would you say that here in Malaysia, because, you know, water is a very cheap in that sense, you know, to pay the utility bills, you know, we're not charged that much. So would you say that many Malaysians take the value of water for granted because of that?
I think we all understand the value because we've all been impacted by water shortages or even maybe too much water, floods. We all know how important it is. But when you look at the water tariffs, yeah, maybe. There are things that can be improved in terms of that. Mm-hmm. But I'll get onto that later because that's a whole other subject.
Okay.
That's huge.
All right.
And I guess going back to your question just now, when you talk about depletion, right? That was one of the things that you mentioned as well.
Yeah.
It really depends on whether the rate of usage of the different sectors, domestic, agriculture, industrial, commercial, is more or less than the rate of replenishment of the water resource available for our use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So really, we on average in Malaysia get an estimated 972 billion cubic meters of renewable water resources in a year. So that's rainfall in a year.
Wow, okay.
So to put that into context, it's about 390 million Olympic-sized swimming pools.
Okay.
And we are only using 3%.
All right.
Yeah, okay. So we should be water rich, but we're not, right?
Right.
So because the water available to us is a different number. Mm. It's much smaller than that number because we get a lot of water losses through evaporation, through runoff, transpiration, and there are other uses. For example, environmental uses, trees, plants, they need it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
So and on top of that, we have dry seasons and wet seasons with the monsoon seasons coming in, the southwest and the northwest monsoons.
Mm-hmm.
And since rivers are where most of our water is abstracted, it's very important that they are actually replenished with sufficient flows. And also its quality is good. And of utmost importance for the rivers are actually the land use in its catchment. And riparians,
mm-hmm.
and secondly, the loading of physical, chemical, and biological inputs into the river itself, especially for the quality.
So, you know, I was reading last year, this was in a newspaper article, the then Minister of Water, Land and Natural Resources, Dr. Xavier Jayakumar, he said that the water industry, that's in dire straits and that our country is expected to see its water resources reduced by 20% to 25% between 2025 and 2030. Do we know anything about this or, you know, maybe even why this might be happening?
Well, he's referring to the water industries in dire straits, right?
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be able to verify the reduction, the 20-25% that had been stated by YB Dr. Xavier back then.
Mm-hmm.
However, it could possibly be related to the fact that the water industry players, I think we all know if we read the papers, they're mostly operating at a loss.
Right.
So this could affect the sustainability of the water industry and ultimately impact the consumers.
Okay. All right. So this is something that we probably need to find out a bit more about where the statistics came from. And yeah, maybe we need to do a bit more digging into that. But, you know, say Malaysia should face a water crisis, you know, are we prepared to weather one?
Okay. So we have a very interesting country with very varied rainfall and monsoon seasons in different parts. The west side of peninsula gets the southwest monsoon.
Mm-hmm.
The north, the east side gets the northwest monsoon. And then Sabah and Sarawak have their own monsoons as well at different times.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So usually in terms of water crisis, it's either too much. I think that one is in terms of floods usually.
Mm-hmm.
But there's now the new advent of too little water.
Mm.
And I'll focus on the too little because I think the floods people know already. So, you know, if we look back at the water shortage, the shortages that we had, the one in that really strikes out in particular is the 2014 one in Klang Valley.
That's right. Yep.
And it was, you know, it caused a lot of strife to both residents, industries and commercial businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, we also hear now every year, almost since 2016, if I'm not mistaken, about the drought that hits our granary areas in Kedah.
Mm, yes.
I think between March to April time.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes the planting seasons for paddy to be delayed, sometimes up until a month, right?
Yeah.
So it's not just potable water shortages that we're looking at in certain parts of the country, not all. Yeah. So Kedah, Klang Valley, Selangor, KL, some parts like Negeri Sembilan also has problems sometimes in Malacca. Mm-hmm. There, I think there are 5 water deficit states in Malaysia. Yeah. But we do have water reserves in our, built into our existing water infrastructure. Although some states are better off than others. Maybe sometimes it's purely because of topographical features that they have or the amount of rainfall that they get. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going back to the Klang Valley, it has the highest water demand in the country, but also some of the lowest water reserves.
I see.
Therefore, we need to increase our water reserve margins to prepare for water shortages. Usually, and historically, we've always looked to supplying more water, more dams, you know, more treatment plants and all that. However, we could also increase our reserve margins by decreasing the average total consumption.
Right.
Yeah, because actually domestic water usage comprises almost half of all total water demand in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we could actually, by doing that, if we could do what Singapore has done, we could increase our reserve margins just from being more water efficient.
So again, efficiency and proper usage of the water in that sense, that's something that we are, a very perhaps maybe simple solution that is being overlooked.
Yes, yeah. And it's something that hardly costs us anything, really.
Yeah.
So last year when Kedah had severe water shortages, mm-hmm. other states sent water trucks to help out residents and businesses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, even though a certain state or district may be having a water crisis,
mm-hmm.
Other states that have ample water can step in to mobilize assistance.
Mm-hmm.
However, these are just temporary measures. So there needs to be more long-term measures put in place. And these measures should look at both soft and hard water infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
So soft meaning protection and conservation water catchments, riparians, wetlands, groundwater replenishment, because these areas are important for water regulation, purification and storage.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for hard infrastructure, you can very easily look at non-revenue water, which is basically water that is water losses incurred through maybe aging pipes or maybe water theft is another one.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could actually reduce the non-revenue water, and currently our non-revenue water on average in the whole of Malaysia is about 35%. So that means if for every 100 litres produced from a water treatment plant,
mm-hmm.
you really only get 65%.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 65 litres.
Okay.
So everything else, the 35 litres, you actually lose.
Wow. That's a lot of losses.
That's a lot of losses. So imagine if you could do that, you could actually fix that, although it does take a lot of capital expenditure.
Mm-hmm.
But it also does take a lot of capital expenditure if you have to build a new dam, for example.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think the government is actually going in the right direction because they've pledged to actually prioritize this anyway, you know?
Yeah.
And then another factor that we have to look at is climate change. Most of our dams and infrastructure was, you know, they date back to the 60s, 70s and 80s.
That's right.
And weather patterns are different.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe we need to actually look at where the new catchments are and protect catchments also that are lower down, closer towards the river mouths.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes we get rainfall down here as well, not just up in the rainforest catchments.
Yeah.
So we need to adapt. And another really important one where I think most people know, and then an incident just happened, I think the day of our movement control order, is pollution.
That's right, yeah. And everyone started to panic because they're like, oh, what else is going to happen?
Yeah, what are you going to do, right? Mm. You're supposed to wash your hands and keep up hygiene. But then suddenly you have a... oh, it's like a worst-case scenario there. So pollution is a big factor because even if you have a lot of water, if that water quality is not good enough, it's the treatment plants that we have cannot cope with the pollutant load,
mm.
it still means that we don't have the water.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it's basically, it's all there and we can't touch it. We can't use it because it will have such adverse effects to us if we did.
That's right. So we really need to ensure that our rivers are clean enough.
Mm-hmm. I'm speaking today to Nurizan Mohamed Mazlan. She's the head of conservation in Peninsula Malaysia at WWF Malaysia. And we're talking about, you know, the need to use water wisely on this World Water Day. And we're going to continue that discussion after this quick break. You're listening to Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Earth Matters on the Bigger Picture and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Joining me on the line today is Nurizan Mohamed Mazlan. She's the head of conservation in Peninsula Malaysia at WWF Malaysia. And we're talking about water and how we really need to use it wisely since it is World Water Day. So Nurizan, WWF has highlighted major issues that must be addressed to ensure the sustainability of our water resources here in Malaysia for now and also for in the future. Can you walk me through some of them?
Okay, there are many issues, and I think if I were to talk about all of them, 30 minutes wouldn't be enough. So I suggest that maybe we go through three or four.
Sure. Of course.
So I think one of the things that we should look at is I already mentioned earlier anyway, is about the high rates of water wastage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess one of the things that we do need to look at is a link between the high rates of water wastage and our water tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can't say much about industrial water tariffs or industrial water usage itself,
mm-hmm.
Because usually, you know, it's kind of difficult to get that information. But we can actually look at the domestic water tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. And the usage, as we know, SPAN actually records that. So our domestic water tariffs are amongst the lowest in the world,
mm.
probably only second to India. Yeah.
Yeah.
Some states in Malaysia even pay as low as 22 cents per cubic meter. And when I say cubic meters, one cubic meter is actually 1,000 liters.
Okay, people don't, so, yeah. Mm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you imagine if you go and buy a mineral water bottle at 1 liter, you have 1,000 of them, you're only paying 22 cents for what comes out of your tap.
Yeah, the things we take for granted. Yep, yep.
Yeah, and, but, you know, how often have the states, okay, water is a state matter.
Mm-hmm.
But how often do these states actually revise their water tariffs? So, for example, Pahang, if you look at Pahang, they haven't revised their water tariff in about 37 years since 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Perlis, since 1996. Terengganu, 1997. I think the last time Perak and Selangor reviewed their water tariff was in 2006. Kedah in 2010 and Kelantan in 2013. So imagine if, you know, you started work 20 years ago and you're still being paid the same amount now.
Yeah.
And you have kids to take care of.
Take care of, yeah. So many more kids.
Yeah. Yeah. And on average, domestic users in Malaysia pay about 52 cents per cubic meter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you compare that to the Philippines actually pay about 2 ringgit. Per cubic meter.
Okay.
Singapore is about 4 ringgit per cubic meter.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can already see the difference there. And then based on the Malaysian Water Industry Guide in 2018, mm-hmm. they published it in 2018,
mm-hmm.
the average cost of treating and distributing every cubic meter of water to domestic consumers is about 2 ringgit 31 cents.
That's a lot.
And remember, we're only on average paying 52 cents. So there's a big difference there. So perhaps the public, I think this is what the late CEO of the National Water Services Commission, I think Datuk Muhammad Ridwan Ismail, he actually famously quoted in an interview right here with a Malay Mail. He basically said, perhaps the public never stopped to think about how much 1,000 litres is. Imagine this, we pay around 2 ringgit 50 per 1.5 litre bottle of mineral water,
mm.
while about 667 of such bottles of treated water would cost only 52 cents. And we can compare that against the price of a pack of cigarettes.
Yeah. Yes.
Which costs, what, 17? I don't smoke, but it's about 17 ringgit,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, it must be something around there.
You can correct me. Or maybe a cup of coffee from a renowned, you know, coffee chain.
Yeah.
Which would cost maybe sometimes up to 20 ringgit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Exactly.
Yeah. So we have to look at it more holistically. And we also not only have to pay attention to the water services side, but we also have to look at the protection of water courses to ensure that, you know, we have water for now and tomorrow.
Definitely.
Mm. So that's one in terms of high rates of water wastage. Another one is maybe looking more at changing weather patterns, or basically climate change.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So as ocean temperatures get warmer, the rainfall that we get changes. Where it falls changes. When it falls changes. And I think our National Hydrological Institute of Malaysia, NAHRIM, has done a really good job. They've actually done a hydroclimate projection up till the year 2100, showing all the different states and some specific locations where there are weather stations in Malaysia, including Sabah and Sarawak. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And they have modelled how much rainfall is going to fall in these different states and different places, looking at the different years. So, you know, right now, maybe Selangor might be getting a certain amount of rainfall,
mm-hmm.
but in 2100, they might actually have drier periods, drier dry periods, but right. wetter wet periods. So it's the same everywhere in Malaysia. So in addition to those changes in water availability, climate change will also affect water quality, especially as key water-shaping ecosystems in the catchments, in the highlands, in the lowlands, the riparian and the wetlands
mm-hmm.
are either lost or altered. Because these ecosystems actually play a really big role in regulating water as well as purifying water
mm-hmm.
and storing water. So the intact soil, when you have natural forests, for example, actually acts like a sponge to hold water when there's a lot of rainfall.
That's right, yeah.
And it releases water during dry weather to the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So it works both ways.
Yeah.
So in terms of climate change, that's one of the issues that we also need to look at. So that's the water resource side. Maybe this is very clear. The next one is destruction and degradation of water catchments, which is tied very closely to what I just mentioned before in terms of climate change.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
So in terms of this, there needs to be an understanding of the journey that water takes before it gets to us at our taps.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I've mentioned this before. Water does not come from the tap.
fake news. That's what some people might tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the more this is understood, that water is part of a whole, we have to look at it more holistically.
Mm-hmm.
The more effective and longer the lifespan of our existing water infrastructure will be. So what I'm saying is, for example, our dams,
yeah.
The activities that actually occur upstream, land use activities, especially in our dams, upstream of our dams, even along the rivers, because our rivers, you know, span from the water catchments upland, up all the way down to the lowlands and to the river mouth.
Mm-hmm.
The land use and the activities that are happening close to the river are very important because it affects the quality of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And so say, for example, you have a dam and there are some detrimental activities happening, then you might get more sedimentation in the dams and you get less storage in the dam.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be aware of this and actually, you know, adhere to the very good policies that are already there in place. By our governments. We have the environmentally sensitive areas in our policies, in our spatial plans. So these are things that we really need to look into and adhere to if we want to lengthen or prolong the hard infrastructure that's already there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. So that always seems to be the problem, though, that we have the policies but not quite the enforcement of these policies.
Yes, but the government is really doing a lot, mm-hmm. And it looks very positive. There's a very positive movement within the water-related government agencies, and even in the ministry, the then Ministry of Economic Affairs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Emphasis has actually been put on water.
Okay.
I think the last issue that I'm going to touch on is water pollution.
Yes, because that was a huge issue last year as well, and we're still seeing it happening this year as well, isn't it? And it's, you know, the really dire effects from it.
Yeah, so right now we need to set water quality targets for our rivers. We haven't done that yet, mm-hmm. yeah? Mm-hmm. And if you understand the river, some rivers are 900 kilometers long, some rivers are only 20 kilometers long. Mm-hmm. So we actually have to plan for the ecological carrying capacity of the river. That means when, you know, it's inevitable that we'll have some discharges into the rivers because, you know, we have wastewater treatment plants, industries use water and then they treat it before they discharge into the river.
Yeah.
And these inputs into the river, these discharges, we actually have to ascertain what is, a maximum allowable loading for the pollutants that are generated in these discharges.
Mm-hmm.
So that particular river, and I've mentioned some rivers are 20 kilometers, some rivers are 900 kilometers. So every river is different. And we need to tailor make our targets to these rivers because, you know, if you look at it, a smaller river will have less water running through it. So it doesn't have a very large dilution factor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas okay. a big river like maybe Rajang River, you can have a bit more. I'm not going to say a lot more, a bit more discharges into it.
Yeah.
You know, a bit more loading because it does actually have more water and it can dilute the pollutants mm-hmm. without actually detrimentally affecting the aquatic biodiversity as well as the quality of the water for treatment.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, of all these things that you've spoken about, you know, I mean, what can we actually do to counter these issues? I mean, do we actually need some very fundamental shifts in the way we manage water, both socially and also economically?
I think only with cooperation from all stakeholders, increased awareness amongst the public, and very strong political will, will we be able to do this. But I believe we are on the right track, actually. The government, civil society, and communities are well aware of what is needed. And both state and federal governments are working towards improving governance of water resources issues.
So
there's the Save Water campaign by SPAN.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the IWK Friends of River program.
Yes.
The Department of Irrigation and Drainage and the Department of Environment are conducting really good studies to inform better decision-making through the National Water Balance Studies and also looking to set water quality targets for certain rivers in Selangor. They're starting there first.
Mm-hmm.
Ministry of Economic Affairs was holding active consultation sessions with members of course, with experts in the water field, mm-hmm. but also with members of civil society and even some representatives from communities to prepare the 12th Malaysia plan.
Right.
Yeah. And there are many grassroots movements by community groups such as Friends of River Langat. And now there's even a bigger one called Friends of River Malaysia. There's a lot going on in that space.
Okay.
So the private sector and financial institutions' awareness levels are also increasing. We have some examples of corporates and banks that are actually funding some of our work. The focus is on water.
Mm-hmm.
Royal Bank of Canada is one of them, CIMB Islamic, H&M, and before we've also had Nestle, quite a number of them. And they're all carving their own niche in water conservation, and they're addressing some different issues, but also some similar. But they're all contributing one way or another.
That's very positive to hear.
Yeah, and there's a lot of unexplored potential in terms of what they can do. Maybe just looking at their own backyard, reducing their water footprint, or even contributing towards conservation of, river conservation efforts. Financial institutions, on the other hand, they could actually contribute by supplying the investment needed to achieve sustainable development.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and we've spoken about the civil society, the government, even private sector. But what about individuals? What individual steps can we take to make an impact and to help sort of stave off a water crisis?
Okay, that's a good question. According to the National Water Resources Study, which was done in 2011, mm-hmm. I believe, domestic water consumption will overtake agricultural water consumption as the single largest demand in Malaysia. Mm-hmm. I think between the year 2020 till 2030. Therefore, it's even more important that each individual understands their role in reducing this demand. Yeah. So some of the individual steps that can be taken are, I think I've got about six listed here, but I'm sure many people could think of more. Number one is pay your water and wastewater bills on time and in full. You heard earlier, our domestic water bills are amongst the cheapest in the world. Yeah. And it's good. The service is good. Yeah. So in order to keep it going, in order to ensure sustainability, this is the least that we can do for now. Secondly, I'm speaking on behalf of urban folk here. Mm-hmm. It's hard to establish a river attitude, because the rivers that we see in the Klang Valley are not very clean.
To put it mildly.
Right? I mean, it's not something that you get in, the foothills of Fraser's Hill or something, it's very clear. You see Ikan Kela. Instead, you see Sungai Klang, you see Sungai Damansara, you see Sungai Langat downstream, right? Most people live downstream.
That's right.
But this is what we have to do, really. We have to get out there. Well, maybe after the movement control order.
Of course, yes.
Over, and try to get to know where your water comes from, which river is actually supplying the water at your tap. And spread this message to your family members and your close friends, practice the three R's, because if we want to, pollution has many facets. We have, chemical, biological, but also physical pollution. And maybe one thing that we can do right now as individuals is to actually look at our usage of single-use plastics, reduce it if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it can actually clog the water distribution systems and drainage systems.
That's right, yeah.
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 Next is use water sparingly and efficiently.
Definitely.
Very simple.
Yeah.
Taking shorter showers. Stop your, turn off the tap, your shower tap when you are soaping.
Mm-hmm. You're brushing your teeth.
Brushing your teeth. Use when you actually wash your hands. Now we've got to wash our hands often, right? So when you're soaping, you turn off the tap. Because you need to wash it. You need to soak for 20 seconds. Use a pail to wash your car. Use water-saving devices. Actually, one of the single largest uses of water in our houses and our buildings are actually, the cisterns, the water tank that holds our water for flushing.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. So if you have, if you can install the dual cisterns where you have, for number one, you take the half moon, and then for the full number two, you take the full moon.
Yes, yes.
That will save a lot of water. But even if you don't have that and you have an old cistern, there are very simple ways to actually reduce the amount of water per flush.
Okay.
Yeah, very simple ways. So those are things that you can do. Oh, another one in terms of pollution that we can really do to help our authorities is to report any illegal discharges or illegal dumping into the rivers or any waterways. This is really important because we all know what happened last year with Sungai Kim Kim.
That's right.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And I think the total of the cleanup alone was initially 6 million, but then after that, subsequent articles came and said it was about 10 million for only 1.5 kilometer stretch of the river.
My goodness.
You know, fortunately, Sungai Kim Kim wasn't upstream of any water treatment plant abstraction points. We're very fortunate that it wasn't, because if it was, it would have been worse, could have been worse. So, you know, we could play our part. If we see anything suspicious, we can call the Department of Environment hotline. I can give you the number now. It's 1-800-882727, or just go to the nearest local authority or municipal council or even police station. So those are amongst things, you know, that you could do as an individual. They're really important.
And they're also simple, right? It's not really doing anything that will make you go out of your way as such. You know, it's very, very simple, very practical things that every single person can do without any discomfort as such.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And what about WWF Malaysia? How are you guys working to tackle these, you know, sorts of water-related issues that we've spoken about?
Okay. So in our capacity as an environmental NGO, we have our work actually revolves around three main areas. So the first one is we're trying to conserve river basins. So looking at the maintenance and restoration of freshwater habitats, and ecological processes within some key river basins, using the integrated river basin management approach. That's one.
Okay.
Secondly, we're looking at advocating for sustainable water use. So focusing on sustainable water use policies and practices that contribute, again, to freshwater habitat conservation. And all following the integrated water resources management approach.
Okay.
And thirdly, we aim to conserve freshwater habitats, of course, because, you know, it just so happens that the water catchments that we're looking at are also highly biodiverse, extremely. So they go hand in hand. So in Peninsular Malaysia, because I'm head of conservation for Peninsula, some of the activities that we're looking at here specifically are, number one, advocating for protection and improved management of important water catchments and wetlands. So the ones that we're looking at currently are Fraser's Hill Forest Complex.
Okay.
Most people probably don't know this, but Fraser's Hill sits on a ridge between Selangor and Pahang. And the west side of the river Sungai Selangor originates partly from Fraser's Hill Forest Complex. And then the east side feeds into Sungai Pahang.
I did not know that. Okay.
Yeah. So it's really important for those two states.
Yeah.
And Sungai Selangor actually provides, I think, up to 60% of all the water in Klang Valley.
Gosh. Okay, that really puts it into perspective, yeah.
Amazing, right? Fraser's Hill, I would have thought.
Yeah.
The other one that we're looking at is the Greater Ulu Muda Forest Complex. So Ulu Muda is, you know, important for water provisioning for Kedah, for Penang, Perlis, and also for food security for the nation, because the largest granary area is in Kedah.
Yes, of course.
And the other one that we're looking at, which is slightly different, is Setiu Wetlands in Terengganu.
Okay.
So this is different than Fraser's Hill or Ulu Muda because this is at the downstream. It's the wetland. And it's one of the last remaining natural wetlands in Peninsular Malaysia. Amazing and beautiful place. So we conduct a lot of research to have sound scientific basis for our advocacy.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And we also take part in consultations with the Ministry of Economic Affairs, the 12th Malaysia Plan, Water Transformation Sector, Natural Resource Consultation Workshops. We've also commissioned a hydrological modelling study in Ulu Muda Forest Reserve to look at the catchments and subcatchments and to model the effect of the effect to the water yield and water quality. Mm-hmm. Based on land use changes and climate change.
Okay.
And then we get a lot of communities involved, trained and unusually ultimately leading the freshwater conservation efforts. We've been doing this in situ for some time now, but we're also doing this in Klang Valley, actually. We've done a journey of water programs mm-hmm. for Sungai Klang, Sungai Selangor, Sungai Langat, in Klang Valley, but we've also done another journey of water in Sungai Muda.
Okay, up in Kedah.
Up in Kedah, yeah. Okay. And basically the logo for the journey of water program is water doesn't come from the tap.
Simple and very important lesson that we all need. So, I mean, and I also know that WWF is working on something for Earth Hour because that's every March. But of course, you know, with all these the control movement orders in place, movement control orders in place, sorry, that you are still having some plans or, you know, there are some messages that you'd like to leave us with regard to that?
Yes, yes. So I guess there won't be any public events mm-hmm. due to the movement control order. Mm-hmm. But this year's Earth Hour will take place on Saturday, March the 28th. Mm-hmm. And we believe that you can still do your part from the safety of your own home. So we'd like to ask everyone to spread the word by recording a video of themselves saying this year's Earth Hour message and sharing it on social media. You can check out the post with our instructions on our Facebook page, WWF Malaysia's Facebook page. And you can also visit our special Earth Hour page at wwf.org.my/Earth Hour. And this year, our goal is to save the Malayan tiger. So please do sign the Tiger Pledge. And don't forget, do show your support on the day itself by switching on non-essential lights from 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m.
Okay, and everybody's going to be home, or at least we hope so. So, you know, it'll be wonderful to see it happen, right, on Mars as such.
Oh, it would be wonderful.
And, you know, it's as we mentioned, of course, we've been talking about water. And, you know, what message would you like to leave everyone with this World Water Day?
Okay. Firstly, let's not take water for granted. This message is even more pertinent now in this time of the COVID-19 crisis. Mm-hmm. We need it in everything we do, and health experts advise the best way to avoid getting the disease is by regularly washing our hands with soap and maintaining our hygiene, right?
Yeah.
So in Malaysia right now, fortunately, this isn't a problem, barring any pollution incidents, that is. Yeah. But in other parts of the world where water scarcity is happening, even this simple protection measure may be difficult to do.
Right.
You know, yeah. That's one. Secondly, we have to realize that each individual, every person has a role to play so that water is available for us as well as our future generations to use. So we've got to use it wisely, efficiently, avoid wastage, use water-saving devices, you know, all the things that I mentioned earlier, reduce, reuse, recycle. And we have to understand that water goes through a very long and arduous process to get to our taps.
Mm-hmm, definitely. Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me today. And of course, you know, if we'd like to keep in touch with WWF or to, you know, get in touch with you with regard to your programs, the website, of course, is wwf.org.my. And also we can get updates on the WWF Malaysia Facebook page.
Yes, that's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for joining me. I've been speaking to Norizan Mohamad Mazlan. She's the head of conservation in Peninsula Malaysia at WWF Malaysia. And we were talking about the need to really use water wisely on this World Water Day special. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM celebrates World Water Day, brought to you by Inda Water Consortium, New Life for Water.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.